Welcome to ATS Mix.
And I think until you start asking questions, you know, you're just going to buy whatever's offered to you on the 6 o'clock news.
ATS Mix.
This isn't a talk show, it's a freak show.
From AboveTopSecret.com.
But also be skeptical of the people who are out there selling conspiracy theories.
The Internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board. ATS Mix. From AboveTopSecret.com.
In the name of Christ, just let us in!
Starts now.
It is episode 79 of the ATS Mix. That means that I am Johnny Anonymous.
And I am the Dave Rabbitster.
Oh, boy, that sounds like some mad scientist creation or something.
Bunny, the other day, came in with this little Dave Rabbit, little voodoo doll kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and really scary. I mean, you know, I mean, she had like, cut out mic picture, you know, had it on the front of a little doll, and, you know, it had a little microphone in his hand, and...
Yeah, okay. Well, I appreciate that.
And it doesn't
that.
Require D batteries.
Yeah, as we try to attempt to keep this a PG or PG-13 show, yes.
I thought that was a PG-13 show.
It could be. It's the addition of the D battery significance there that may... I don't know.
I don't... No, I think it's fine. You know, D batteries. I mean, the Energizer Bunny has D batteries up him, so...
Yeah,
I mean,
it's no big...
Speaking of the Energizer Bunny, I know what you're going to say. It is amazing that the Energizer Bunny commercials is nothing but that alien one anymore.
For over a year, that's all they've been showing is the one, and I'm wondering why.
Well, it's either A, that they don't have a budget to do more commercials,
yes,
or B, they're trying to tell us that the Energizer Bunny may be an alien.
Well, I can think of C, D, and E also, but...
Well, I can think of some ones, the other ones, but you know, that works for me.
All right,
anyway, well, we've got a great show, and I'll start. We have our traditional international sightings from all of our people around the world, and
we have a brand new soapbox mystery guest that's going to show up and entertain us with some thoughts of theirs.
Yeah, I'm waiting with bated breath since I don't ever know who's going to be up there at the time.
I have a tic-tac for you.
I love the tic-tacs. And then our old pal Agent X comes in. Hold on to your seats, folks.
Oh, boy.
This is an exclusive. But anyway, Agent X comes in and gives us some kind of special report.
Might have to change his name. I don't know. We've also got, of course, Bill Urban, who's the Skeptic Overlord. He's going to stop by and tell us about some of the more favorite threads of his that are getting lots of attention at ATS Mix.
And then what I'm really excited about, this is our second part, John, of the Frank Warren interview that we did. And I think part two is absolutely the best of the whole bunch, and so I'm really looking forward to that.
Absolutely. And then we're going to end it, not with the Rabbit's Rant, but with a segment from yesteryear, From the Balcony.
Yeah, it's a new From the Balcony that John and I did, and we wanted to pull some things out of the old rabbit hat, and there you go.
Let's rock and roll.
This is ATS Mix.
What? Whoa, what am I hearing?
What is this?
From AboveTopSecret.com.
Ah, crap!
Here are your anomalous sightings.
From around the world.
Here are the latest U.S. UFO sightings for AboveTopSecret.com. This is David C. In Colorado, 11 larger objects in a semicircle formation flashing in and out of sight in 10-second intervals were observed. The objects would appear for about 30 to 60 seconds, then disappear and reappear. This happened 6 times before they disappeared. Later the same evening, the viewer saw an object that looked like a planet, but was larger and bright green. It flashed a couple of times, then shrank down to a pinpoint and was gone. In Georgia, a red to green flashing star-like object was observed. The viewer stated, "We watched this object move around, moving suddenly from left to right, right to left, moving what seemed closer to us, the colors would get brighter, and then farther away. We watched this happen until 11 p.m., and then it got really dim and disappeared." In California, a light appeared in the west. Light was at a very high altitude, maybe 30,000 feet, and at first looked like normal aircraft. But the observer soon realized its light looked a lot bigger and brighter for such a high object. The light was circular to oval in shape and was traveling from west to east across the sky at about 700 to 900 miles per hour. This light had no green or red running lights. The light source was observed not to be multiple bright landing lights seen on many large aircraft, and the object made no noise. This is David C. reporting for AboveTopSecret.com.
This is Tamaril from Godbox Cafe with sightings from across Canada. On the evening of April 29th in North Bay, Ontario, a witness was staring at the night sky when at approximately 10:30 p.m., two points of light were observed traveling across the sky together. According to the witness, there were no accompanying flashing lights or sounds one would associate with planes. At first, they were seen moving about two finger widths apart, but as they continued, it was as though they were tracing two arc patterns away from one another, with one light dimmer than the other. It was impossible to keep track of them both, given their opposite trajectories. 3 hours later, in St. Thomas, Ontario, a resident was stargazing from the back garden and noticed a light instantly appear, much brighter and closer than any of the stars in view. It was described as circular and white-orange in color, once again, without a smoke trail or noise accompanying it. What caught the witness's attention was the fact that it seemed to jump around as opposed to traveling in a straight line. On May 2nd, in Brighton Bay, Sherwood Park, Alberta, at 11:05 p.m., a resident was looking up at the Big Dipper constellation when noticing something move to the east of the Dipper's handle. The witness's focus was shifted to the source of the movement, at which point it was determined that 12 to 15 donut-shaped lights were traveling at high speed from east to west, passing through the handle in a straight-line formation, with two lights veering slightly as they covered the entire field of view in 5 to 6 seconds. No sound or flame trails emanated from the lights. This is Tamaril from Godbox Cafe, reporting for AboveTopSecret.com.
Reporting sightings from around Europe, this is Sam Willie of AlienationSam.com and UFO-radio.net. This week, a circular object over Lancashire and lights over Scotland. We begin in Bury, Lancashire, England, and an elderly lady has recalled a sighting of a circular or elliptical object she witnessed along with her late husband. The incident dates back to late 2001, early 2002. The object was initially witnessed as a bright stationary light in the sky, which made the couple venture into their patio in order to gain a better vantage point. From the patio, the pair reportedly saw a silent object with orange and pink lights around it. The couple were able to discount a number of explanations, which included aircraft and hot air balloon. The elderly lady did not wish to come forward earlier due to fears of being ridiculed regarding her report. In more recent news, we head to Salcotes, Scotland, where on May 1st, 2008, two readers of the Anderson Herald newspaper were stunned after they witnessed four strange lights at around 9 p.m. One of the readers investigated the unusual event and took an interesting video of the lights. Another reader, located only a few miles away from the first, was also intrigued by the sight, which she witnessed with her family. The Herald newspaper is yet to offer any explanation for the strange events. This is Sam Willie reporting for AboveTopSecret.com.
Well, John, before we continue with the show, there's a blinking red light going off of my ATS console. I mean, what's up with that, you know?
Well, that is actually a signal that we've got a mystery guest ready to beam on over onto the soapbox.
Really? You mean to say that ATS has a teleportation device?
Well, yes, indeedy. You know, I finally talked the Amigos into springing up for some spare parts that I asked for, and I kind of invented a faster way for our mystery guest to get over here, over to ATS's soapbox.
Well, okay. Have you tried it out yet? I mean, how do you know it even works?
Well, no, I have not tried it out, so I don't know if it really works. But in theory, it should. And, you know, I've been dying to try it out. You think I should give it a try now?
Is your insurance paid up?
I think the Amigos have.
Okay, well, good. Then, I mean, what's the worst that could happen, John?
Well, worst case scenario, I would not want to overload the flux capacitor. And if I don't, then I think everything should be okay.
Okay, well, that's great. Now, in theory, what happens to us if you do overload the flux capacitor?
Well, we'll end up with a real bad sunburn, and our guest is going to probably end up looking like a piece of burnt bacon.
I guess in the name of science, though, we should go ahead and give it a try since you spent all the Amigos money on it. So let's
do it. Yes, and in fact, I spent some extra money on a pair of goggles for you, too. So here, put these damn things on, will you please?
Okay, let me try to adjust this thing, John. Are these special goggles?
Yeah, they go over your face.
Oh, well, no wonder, because it's not fitting over my buttocks.
There you go.
Okay, let me move them up here to the...
Yeah, your buttocks will be the last thing you need to be worried
well,
about.
Well, I was worried about saving my buttocks before
now,
you flip
them. Now, I do have to tell you this. You'll probably experience a little bit of nausea because we're going to be bending space and time.
Is that kind of like when I was in my Corvair back in high school?
That was bending the laws of physics, my friend.
Oh, that's right. I couldn't remember.
Not space and time.
I couldn't remember the episode. Okay. So well, that'll be perfect, John. Then, yeah. You know, I just got through eating a big meal, so I guess that's no problem, though, right?
Yeah. I'm going to stand over here, all right? Now, if you get a little queasy, I want you to face the other way, all right?
All right.
Hopefully nothing will come out.
All right. either end, hopefully, right?
Yes, cross your fingers. Here we go.
Cross now. All right, here we go.
Are you ready?
I was born ready, Johninator.
All right, I'm hitting the switch now. Engaging teleportation in 3, 2, 1.
From the soapbox, it's, oh, excuse me. Could you maybe introduce yourself, please?
Certainly. This is Stuart Swerdlow getting up on the soapbox to talk about mind control, which I feel is the biggest issue on the earth right now. Mind control and programming are pervasive and affects 100% of the population, and that means all of you listening. The population is programmed via satellite transmission, cell towers, television, radio, even the electrical system in your homes, including your microwaves, your computers, every television set you have, even the electrical wiring can conduct ELF and microwaves that will affect your mind and brain capacity. Approximately 15% of the global population is specifically programmed, meaning that they have special functions, deep issues and programming, and are not in control of their own minds. It affects all people, but younger generation, especially between the ages of 15 and 35, are most affected by this issue. They have mostly no jobs, no money, and no motivation, and are in effect wasting their lives living off of the good nature of their family, friends, and the people around them. And in my practice of helping people, I have seen this in a very large percentage. They're not eating properly, they're getting weaker, and weaker people are much more controllable. So I would strongly recommend deprogramming, and I'll talk about that in a second. Mind control is created by fracturing the mind into pieces through trauma. Years ago, it used to be done through physically having programming sessions. Now, it can be done remotely via satellite. It fractures the mind into a virtual cube of 13 by 13 by 13, which creates 2,197 pieces that can each be programmed into alters or compartments with either full personalities or subpersonalities. There are many kinds of subroutines in programming that exist. You can have monarch programming, green star, end time, new world religion, and all kinds of other related programs that can be triggered and activated so that you go into another altar and perform functions that the original personality would not have done otherwise. You can correct this via deprogramming, release work, and color therapy that can be used to reintegrate the mind and reconnect to the original personality and This takes time. You must be patient. You must be persistent and consistent. And don't skip days of deprogramming. This is something that, again, is a global situation. I write about it on my website, which is www.expansions.com. And I have a lot of information on there that people can look at if they wish and do their deprogramming and release work. I would also recommend that people stay in a violet protection. Keep that color violet around you. It blocks programming. Use the brown merger symbol at the pineal gland because it will help reintegrate your mind. Next month in June, we are going to France, and that is a great trip. Please go onto the website and see if you can still join. There's still some spots left. I look forward to speaking to you next time and hearing from you. And this is Stuart Swerdlow getting off the soapbox, and I'll see you next time.
ATS. The following is an exclusive ATS Mix special report.
Dave has just found out something very interesting. So, Dave, go ahead. Take it away.
Thanks, Johnny. A stunning revelation has just been uncovered by AboveTopSecret.com and ATS Mix's own Agent X. I have X on the line with me right now, Johnny, for the full report. X, you still there?
Dave, I have uncovered what is possibly one of the biggest conspiracies that has ever been exposed in the last 10 years of existence here at AboveTopSecret.com.
Really?
I know you love movies, Dave. Do you remember the movie Jerry Maguire?
Yeah, you mean the one with Tom Cruise and Renee Zellweger, right?
Yes. Well, do you remember the famous last line of that movie? Wait, I have it right here with me. Let me play you the clip.
You had me at hello. You had me at hello.
Okay, what about it?
I have found out that Renee Zellweger's voice that everyone has heard for years is not, repeat, not her real voice, and that she has some kind of mechanical device that has been alien implanted that makes her sound normal.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that Renee Zellweger's voice that everyone knows and loves is mechanical and that some kind of alien device has been implanted and you have uncovered some kind of facts that can prove this?
Not only do I have audio proof, which I'm going to play for you, I have found out that this was a voiceover that Renee Zellweger did normally in her own voice a year ago, hoping that no one would ever find out that she was an alien.
All right, let's hear it.
Hello? 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 Hello?
Wait a minute. That is that stupid, irritating ad on AboveTopSecret.com. That cracker threatened to quit if we didn't remove it from the site.
It doesn't matter, Dave. That is Renee Zellweger's real voice, and it is a huge cover-up. Gotta go.
Johnny, believe it or not, X thinks he is onto something here. I don't know about the alien implantation thing. As for me, the jury is still out. So back to you at ATS Mix Central, Johnny.
And now it's time for a different view. This is the Skeptic Overview.
It is time once again for us to delve deep into the mind. We're no longer probing because he doesn't like that. It's time to delve deep into the Skeptic Overlord's mind. And it's Bill. Hi, Bill.
Hello.
This reminds me of the little association to where you go up and say, hi, my name is Bill. And we all go, hello, Bill.
Hello.
Sorry.
By the way, if any of our listeners were having trouble earlier in the week in getting ATS Mix through the feed, you can blame Dave.
No, you can actually bring blame Springer, you know.
Oh, sure. Yeah, let's blame Mark. Why not?
Because it was actually his show that you know jammed up the backlog of stuff. Hey, listen, before we start, you know, one of the things that you created for the AboveTopSecret.com system and the Above Network LLC was something that I didn't know anything about, and that's called the DIG system. Can you tell people a little bit about the DIG system, Bill, and why it's so important that they, if they like a show, which is any of our media shows, if they like, is it on DVDs, Bill? I don't remember. Or is it just on posting or on threads?
The DVDs and the dig system?
Yeah, I mean, is the dig thing only on just threads, or is it on, I know it's on the shows, but is DVD area, or is it on everywhere, or just certain areas?
It's on most areas. It's not in the breaking news, but it is in all the other areas that would tend to get original content to ATS. Basically what it is if you go to dig.com, it's a increasingly popular website that really does nothing more than aggregate interesting links in other websites across the internet. People respond and give their opinions, and they either dig up or dig down those links to other websites, the content on other websites, based on what all of the people that use Dig think, if they like it or not. And it can be a very valuable resource for sites like us, where when we get popular content, if it rises to popularity on Dig, then more and more people know about it. For example, that Barksdale stolen nuclear weapon thread, that became very high on Dig very fast. We were on the homepage for over 9 hours, and that particular piece of content on ATS really did get a lot of attention because of that. More people who wouldn't otherwise even considering visiting ATS, even just based on the kind of topics they search on, ended up finding that because of its appearance on Dig. And so what happens is, if you see a thread on Dig that you like, or I'm sorry, a thread on ATS that you like, and you're a member of Dig, you just click the little Dig badge, and you can submit that thread, and then you can also vote up that thread on Dig right from ATS once it's been added by the Dig badge. And that tends to accelerate the possibility that other people on Dig.com might notice it, and the entire Dig community seeing what we like on ATS and increasing the Digs, so to speak, and getting it on the front page and getting more attention to it.
Yeah, and another thing we want to remind everyone. Yeah, go ahead.
No, that was it. That was the fast forward Reader's Digest.
Okay, version. Well, another thing we want to remind everybody.
Are available after the show for.
yeah. All right. Well, another thing we'll remind everybody is that it's a free thing. It costs you zippity doo dah to be a Dig member. And for all you guys out there in your little secret societies and stuff that really enjoy ganging up, this would be a perfect opportunity for you guys to dig your own little things and, you know, bring it to the community at large, the world, which brings them, of course, to AboveTopSecret.com. And Bill, isn't the Barksdale, if I'm not mistaken, didn't the Barksdale thing, because of it being dug so highly on the Dig site, that brought in a lot of mainstream media, and that's where we really got a huge amount of attention. Was that not the case?
Yeah, that's right. And it also still stands to this day as our most viewed individual topic on the website, more than all the others before it. So, yeah, that's the power of what some attention on dig.com can bring, topics on ATS.
All right. Well, in other words, if you like it, dig it. If you don't like it, don't dig it. But we would prefer you to dig it. If you can dig it. Okay. All right.
I can dig it.
All right. What do you got on your thread talk today, Bill?
Well, I have a few threads I just want to go through quickly, and then one that we can talk about in slightly more detail.
Okay.
As we move forward. Rounding or topping things off in this week on Above Top Secret, Skyfloating posted a thread on April 30th, 275 replies, titled "The Very Real Conspiracy Against Freemasonry." Uh-oh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Allergies kicking in.
It's funny.
Oh, no. Cracker's here.
Sorry, hit the wrong button.
It starts out saying, it's funny how the main theme here is a conspiracy waged by Freemasons against freedom, liberation, and enlightenment, because in actual fact, it's just the other way around. Some governments, mostly authoritarian, and virtually all totalitarian regimes have treated Freemasonry as a potential source of opposition due to its secret nature and international connections. And he goes on to discuss some very interesting alternative angles to the overall Freemason conspiracies that we see on Above Top Secret. And a lot of replies from different members, obviously 275 replies from different members from different angles on the fence regarding Freemasonry and Masonic conspiracies that have been on ATS. Another thread that I just thought was a riot. I mean, I was just laughing out loud when I saw the video linked in the opening post. And it's entitled, O'Reilly, We Didn't Invade Iraq.
Yeah, I laughed at that one, too.
257 replies posted by Chad Andrew. And it really is a hoot. Bill O'Reilly stated in a video that's on YouTube that it wasn't a declaration of war. It was a declaration of war to enforce the first Gulf War treaty, as he was convincing his guest that we really didn't invade Iraq. However, the problem with O'Reilly's comments is there's no such thing as the first Gulf War treaty. So I imagine there's some crow that he's feasting on ever since that, but we'll never hear any kind of public correction.
Apology, yeah.
Mr. O'Reilly, yes. Another interesting thread that began this past week, April 28th, by author Sizzle, entitled Attention ATS, Know the Hidden Meanings Behind the Laws in America Before It's Too Late. And this one did actually get a little bit of attention on Dig, and a few other websites are linking to it. And it was a featured content because it received so many flags so quickly. It ended up being the featured content in one of our newsletters, email newsletters this week. It is my intention in this thread, he starts, to kick down some doors and let loose some revelations on the members here who might have been unaware of certain laws on the books and what they really mean. These laws and codes are hidden in plain sight, but if people are unaware of their existence and their true meaning, then we continue to be as sheep led to slaughter. And it goes on to a long couple opening posts, a very fascinating thread that makes a good point that there really are some interesting angles that we should know more about in how some of the laws were authored and brought to be. Another thread, very timely, by Big Bert 81, 179 replies, started on April 29th. That's it. This anti-Obama propaganda has got to stop.
And I saw that one, too.
I'm sure you've seen everything under the sun between being Muslim and his middle name Hussein and all this other stuff that's going on with Obama. And he makes a lot of great points in beginning the thread. He really, unfortunately, does come across as being I don't want to say brainless, but just a pure Obama. What's the word I'm looking for? I'm drawing a complete blank. At least a cheerleader is close enough to the word I was looking for Obama. And but he does make a lot of great points that there are some negativities, some sticking, some not. And generally, people who just listen to sound bites on the news tend to remember some of these interesting anti-Obama propaganda pieces that get out there. And then this is funny. It's funny how when you look at popular threads and the sequence in which they become popular, how some of these things can connect.
Right.
The next most popular thread with 167 replies is Barack Obama is the Antichrist. talk about serendipity. I mean, come on.
If you have your salt, you have to have your pepper, too.
That's right.
No pun intended.
That's right.
And then almost as a counterpoint to one of the first thread we talked about with a lot of replies, 162 replies by thread author Cut Both Ways. What are the Masonic secrets? And he begins, inquiring minds want to know, what are these secrets that Freemasons protect so guardedly? If we knew the real secrets, I guess there wouldn't be a secret society, and I wouldn't get the chance to get discredited by ATS lurker Freemasons. And he goes on to talk about a number of things that are deep in the conspiracy theory lore about Masonic secrets. Again, a very interesting thread. A pretty equal number of participations from both those that are really intensely interested in the conspiracies related to Masons and some of the Freemason members on ATS. Getting along, Wrath Ascendant begins a thread on alternative 9/11 theories with 147 replies. He gets into a number of ideas about 9/11 that aren't necessarily some of the conspiracy theories that have become popular over time. Very good thread if you're looking for some discussion on more than just the bombs in the building or a missile hit the Pentagon.
Right.
And the next most popular, what will be the next terrorist attack on the USA, by threat author Anti-US Government. And he has 127 replies, a lot of speculation there on what's happening and what could happen next in the either a terrorist attack or a false flag terrorist attack in the U.S. in the coming months. One more before we get to the one I wanted to talk about a little bit more. 120 replies, 45 flags, a good number of flags on this one. And it's entitled Crazy Grid of Earthquakes by Downtown 436. And this really is it's a little bit out there, but also incredibly fascinating thread where he found someone that was mapping all the earthquakes in the Reno area. And yes, indeed, there is a checkerboard grid of earthquakes that were happening outside of Reno. And it is almost a perfect grid that has been mapped out. There's a cluster of earthquakes in the middle of the grid, but there are, 19 little, not quite earthquakes, but tremors that have been focused on this grid, and there's a lot of speculation and threat on what could possibly cause something like this, which really has never been witnessed before in the mapping of where the epicenter is, in the tremors associated with earthquakes and the resulting aftershocks. And now,
wait a minute. Before you go into this, I just want to do a little sidebar. As an update, I have been informed that the gentleman that created this grid is also a gentleman that we have had on the ATS Mix. His name is Stan
Deo.
That's
right. I just saw that. Yeah, Stan Deo. Yeah,
And I just got through getting an email from him asking when he would like us to interview him, and so we hopefully will actually be able to include that in this episode show. And in fact, you may have already heard it, depending on how we arrange our segments here on this show.
Yeah, really.
But he is willing to come on. We already have a thread up in the guest show area for members to ask questions for Mr. Deo, and so we are going to address these concerns by our members because it is a pretty hot topic, as you've already alluded to.
Yeah, and Stan's been a good friend of ours, and we've done a show with him already previously in the archives of the ATS Mix. So yeah, Stan's just really real gracious, and we hope to put that up quickly.
Yeah, it just as you were saying that, Johnny, I happened to look up to the URL of the site that had that grid work, and there he is, standeo.com, has the mapped out that grid. So fantastic. And then getting to the topic, I want to toss out for just a little bit of a discussion. Because I'm really surprised we're not seeing more really intense conspiracy speculation on this item. The thread is titled, Shell's Profit Soars to a Record $9 Billion in the Quarter. The thread author is Sewell Wolf, and he begins, Royal Dutch Shell has reported a 25% rise in first quarter earnings, crediting strong increases in energy prices, and he goes on to quote the news story. And indeed, Shell was not the only major oil company. The top four oil companies were recording record profits in this quarter because of the rise in energy price and oil prices. And that brings to mind another thread I saw, and actually was reading, I believe it was just this earlier in the week, right after the show, was some discussion of more oil company profits and the incredible taxes that they actually pay to the U.S. government. And that brings across the idea that this is almost a scheme to raise the price of energy so that we have record profits and record taxes paid to the government. It's sort of a round-robin effect. And I just wondered what you guys thought about this and wonder why you think we haven't seen more speculation into that aspect of something like this that could be a conspiracy.
John, age before beauty.
That would be you.
Smart ass. Okay, I will start. It's funny that this is coming up as something that you want to discuss, Bill, because, and I'm not going to
tell exactly what we've done. But Johnny and I have decided, you know, we're gonna not going to sit in our keisters, and we're going to start mingling with the masses and start getting some inputs from some things. And I kind of did a mind meld with some masses of people yesterday. And I can tell you without exception that there's not a single person that I talked to about this quote-unquote gas scenario, which we put up about, you know, beer being cheaper than gas that we talked about last week.
Yeah.
There's not a single person that I talked to, and I mean I talked to a bunch, that believes that it's not some kind of conspiracy with the government and the oil companies. I mean, without an exception. No, there was not one person that said, but, you know, look at what somebody else is paying or whatever. I mean, you know, every person I talk to has the same concept. And I agree with you. It blows. I ask these people point blank, and here again, I don't want to give away stuff that we got as a surprise for the membership, but I ask these people point blank, you know, at what point would they get mad enough that they were going to do something about it, you know? Some obviously were already there. People were giving me numbers that it would take before they would actually try to create a revolution, if you will, in the United States. And it blew me away. I mean, it really blew me away. And I'm really surprised, you know, with our home that we don't have people just banging the living crap out of that.
Yeah, it just shocks me. It's like the saying about the weather. Everybody talks about it, but nobody does anything about it. And in that thread I was reading, somebody had taken the Exxon taxes and calculated what Exxon pays per U.S. citizen in U.S. taxes, and it came out to be over $80,000.
Golly.
That they're paying per person in taxes. And what would happen to our economy if... I mean, we're getting these economic incentive checks. Everybody's getting $600, give or take, depending on your current your tax situation. And oh boy, you know that's really a drop in the bucket. But what would happen? Mm-hmm. What would happen if something was worked out so that the oil companies charged $85,000 per person less in the prices of their product, so that it would wipe out the need for that tax? I mean, that's a tremendous amount of money that just gets recycled through the system.
Yeah, and doesn't accomplish anything. John, what's your thoughts?
I'm blown away. I did not know about that $85,000 per person bill. That's pretty incredible.
It's just, I mean, what kind of economic incentive would our national economy see if the energy companies were treated differently? I mean, just take a look at your local water utility. I mean, you could say, conceivably, that water at this point for your home is as important as gasoline for your car, so you could go to work. But you know, the water companies aren't allowed to make a profit.
Right.
So the water utilities. So you know, it is a need. It is a basic need for people in this country to use their vehicles to move about. I mean, we're not like the smaller countries of Europe where we can do a lot of train travel. I mean, cars and airports are definitely needed. And that's just a tremendous amount of profit that gets kicked back to the government is essentially what it is. It's a kickback scheme.
Incredible. And all these oil companies, they're all posting still record banner percentages every quarter.
Right. And the prices are going up, and there's really no there's no accountability. It's amazing to me that this can continue to happen with something that is so critical to something that has an influence on every bit of every price tag that we pay. Everything that we buy in the store gets there on a truck somehow. You know, from the produce in the supermarket to the jeans in the Gap. I mean, they're all transported by a truck.
Exactly.
And the cost of those things are all influenced by the cost of the fuel that it takes to get it to where it ends up being.
Right. But another thing too, Bill. I mean, it goes even more than trucks. You're talking about rail, which is diesel. You're talking about aircraft. You're talking about ships at sea that import things from China or wherever, you know, they're importing from. So I mean, that one commodity can change the entire world, either to the dark side or to the light side.
Right. So there's certainly, and there's been speculation, you know, in the conspiracy circles all along about the connection of Bush, and it's really not speculation. I mean, there really is a solid connection between Bush and the oil companies. And, I mean, they're making record profits on the backs of the consumer ever since Bush came into office.
Right. I just love being an American. I really do love being American, but boy, I really tell you that we've really got some serious issues, and I don't know what the answer is, Bill, but I guarantee if anybody can find get to the bottom of it and raise enough hell about it, it's the membership of AboveTopSecret.com. All right, well, let's get to your special area. And because we're going to go beauty, well, I did beauty before age. I don't remember which way.
No, you did age before beauty. So you want to do it the other way and have me go first?
I'm going to reverse it.
All right.
And if you would be honor the skeptic with the first question.
Absolutely.
Please.
Benevolent Tyrant wants to ask you this. Skeptic Overlord, have you or ATS ever had any brushes with those guys in the nondescript generic suits with the government-issued Ray-Ban aviator sunglasses? You know, not men in black necessarily, but agents or representatives from one of the alphabet agencies. You know, the FBI, CIA, MOD, MI5, you know, that type of sort.
Yeah, we had two that I know of, and I think we talked about these on the show once or twice. So I'm just going to brushstroke it briefly. Simon, way back, and when I say way back, I mean maybe even before 2000, I had a request from the FBI to remove something from the site. It wasn't in the discussion board area. It was in one of the content areas that somebody had forwarded to him, and he just put up there. He didn't know what it was, but it ended up being something rather sensitive, and he honored that request. And then back in, it would have been around 2003... late 2003, the U.S. Defense Logistics or Defense Intelligence Agency, I should say, ran us through a bit of a test and hired a government contractor to do that test on us. And that was we talked about that before, and that's all documented in the really above top secret forum.
Yeah, so if you make some quality posts, you can go into the rats area. Okay. Member and moderator Sauron says, will we ever see the return of this mask man? And, of course, he has the graphic of your...
What is that a picture of you in tights, Bill?
It's Bill in tights.
That is me before, actually before I started working out.
That was in his bicycle days, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's still riding the bike.
Yes, well, who knows? I mean, really can't... predict when the masked one will return, but he typically does return when he is most needed.
Do you have to like powder the? Do you have to powder the inside of the suit before you get it in? I mean, you know, I have to powder my suit before I go diving, so I'm just curious if it's easy to get in and out of those tights.
Well, no, it is a special formulation of Lycra made specifically for me by DuPont that slides on.
All right.
Move on, John.
I'm sorry. How much is the doggy? UK Alien Buff.
Yeah, the guy that's been banned. But well, listen, I want to tell members, you know, banned or not banned, we take every question. Go ahead, John.
You know what? I ended up missing the very first part of this, something about senior members of the ATS staff getting arrested.
He just basically says, I have a question for Mr. Overlord, and then if the senior members, go ahead, John.
All right. Yeah, here's the question for the Overlord. If senior members of the ATS staff are arrested, what would then happen to the site? By that, I mean, who would then take control of the site until you guys are cleared or placed in prison indefinitely? And I guess this would be the time when the supersuit wouldn't be working for you, Bill.
Well, it does have a waterboarding prevention feature. So we're good then.
The suit or the site?
Oh, the suit.
I just wanted to clarify that. All right. Well, see, Nat says, skeptic answered. So yeah. There's another one.
No, actually, we do have a technology team who is secluded and secret. And they do know what to do in the event that we may not become available for a period of time.
All right. How much is this dog,
by the way?
What?
That they disappear, you know.
Oh, of course, you know. I mean, but yeah. But here again,
matter how good DuPont makes their suits,
and you know, but here's the thing. I mean, and I'm being funny, obviously, but I mean,
conceivably, I mean, we've all made our stands and about, you know, how we feel about things and topics and that we don't give a rat's buttocks. But, I mean, conceivably, you know, I could envision a conspiracy where that may happen and all of us are whisked away, you know, to some foreign land or whatever and, you know, with a 2x4.
The mainstream media police.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I love the mainstream media police. All right, moving on. How much is this doggy? And I'm going to go down to one to where it really kind of makes sense because we've talked about the ecosystem. But this is kind of interesting. Have you ever given thought to creating some kind of pamphlet or whatever, Bill, or on the site to where it's like, you know, like ATS for Dummies? I've said this before. You know, when I first came, and a lot of people always say this, that they were lurkers for a period of time because the site's so overwhelming. Now, I know you've done some things to make it easier for guests and stuff, but have you ever thought about maybe doing something like ATS for Dummies?
Well, it already exists. Our moderator...
What, ATS Mix?
Yeah, there you go. No, if you click the FAQ, which is the acronym for Frequently Asked Questions,
right,
in the menu bar... You go to the ATS handbook created by Zedekus.
Ah, that's right. It is up there.
Yeah.
I forgot all about that. Well, see, now where do they go, Bill, for that?
It's in the menu, and yeah, it's in the green area of the menu right between search and chat.
Up at the top, right?
Budsky.
Okay, a couple of more, John.
Yeah. Budsky has quite a few questions, but some of them kind of allude to the same thing that UK Alien Buff asked earlier. And he wants to know that we're seeing more and more stories from the mainstream news sources. Do you think that government's desire to control the web may mean that in the future mainstream will be the only source we'll have? And if that happens, then what would that mean for the ATS? And then another question he wants to know is, if a government were to take control of the net and ATS was subsequently blacklisted, would the site become an underground organization?
Well, I really don't. My background in the internet really makes me skeptical of the ability for anyone to really properly control the internet. And that's a whole huge issue that has been talked about on ATS. And I see that as a major undertaking to try to introduce control into the American internet from the point where it stands now. It was different in China, where they built their internet infrastructure with the controls in place, but you know, there's no controls in place in our current infrastructure. So that'd be tough. It'd be really hard to ostracize ATS as a website from that standpoint. However, you know, it is a possibility, you know, that perhaps maybe it would be difficult get ATS the kind of exposure from within the United States. And I've always made sure, beginning, you know, 3 years ago, is that the code and the data is very modular. It really, now where we stand, just because we've had to move the technology so much, it really would be an afternoon project to take ATS from our current situation, or even from backups that sit in a secure location, to another server in another country, or even in a very safe location someplace else. So that wouldn't be a tough project for us.
So we would okay if one good planned EMP went off, right? We'd still be okay.
We'd be great.
All right.
Well, there you go. Okay, last question, Bill. UK Mickey 1980. And this is kind of pretty interesting. And if you could clear up once and for all, Bill, one conspiracy theory that you've seen on the site, okay, that you have a passion for, which conspiracy theory would it be that you would love to see cleared up once and for all? No more questions, no more debate, and why?
Well, I think it's clearly, and hopefully a lot of people would agree, that it's got to be 9/11. If there, it is the sort of defining event of our time, and literally why conspiracy theory in general became popular online. Sites like ATS, you know, there's lots of sites like ATS that have discussion boards and blogs that are more focused on conspiracy theories than anything else. ATS is a bit broader than that. We have paranormal and UFOs and other things, but conspiracy way of thinking really is sort of a central core in a lot of our topics. And just, you know, the popularity of all of these sites is mainly because of the combination of 9/11 happening as the internet was growing. And here we are seven years later, almost since the event happened. And there's really no resolution. And if anything, there's more questions than ever. And some of them aren't so great. We're seeing a lot of really poor conspiracy speculation surrounding 9/11 online. And the problem there is the people who are really into 9/11 aren't necessarily, for lack of a better word, the old style or old school conspiracy theorist, where research is more important than speculation. And so that has been part of the problem. But yeah, I really would like to see some traction, some forward momentum in something related to 9/11.
Just on a side note, Bill.
I have a sidebar also. Go ahead.
All right. And mine will be real quick. Have you ever heard of a gentleman with regards to the 9/11 event by the name of David Ray Griffin?
Yes.
And do you have any thoughts about him?
Off the top of my head, I know a bit about him and what he's been doing. He's taken a lot of flack lately, but I have not stayed on top of his most recent work. But he is he started out as sort of a voice that had a lot of interesting things to say, and started bringing the speculation, the conspiracies into a productive area. But what happened since is the infighting and the territorial nature of all the different 9/11 truth and conspiracy groups just really fractured that whole event. And he's, if you do a search on his ideas now online, you'll see, pretty much an even breakdown between people that support him, people that hate him, and people that think he's a disinformation agent.
Do you think he'd be an interesting guest to have on the ATS Mix for an interview?
Oh, certainly, yeah.
Okay, that was the reason why I was asking.
Oh, I'd even like to sit in on that one.
Okay, perfect.
Well, great, because we wanted to get you in when we interviewed, what's his name, John?
Are you...
Jesse? On your interview with Jesse Ventura, man. What a great interview.
Oh, is that going to be good? I am just panting. And by the way,
I'll be sitting in the corner while he and Dave reminisce about Vietnam.
No, but I tell you what's going to be fun about that, and then we're going to end your show, Bill. What's going to be fun about that is that I watched a lot of the interviews that Jesse Ventura did with Larry King and Hannity and Combs and whatever, and so much of the stuff is so cookie cutter that when I got to about the third interview that I was watching of him, I was answering the guest or the host questions before Jesse ever said it, because it was the same thing. And John and I discussed this, and when we do the Jesse Ventura interview, it is not going to be a cookie-cutter interview. It's going to be just like we always do. We're going to get down to and ask questions that the mainstream media seems to be happy with the status quo, but Johnny and I will not. So I'm not going to go my sidebar about 9/11, although I will say there was a hell of a lot of collateral damage with that, Bill, and that is absolutely one that I think would be marvelous if we could absolutely answer it to where there's no more questions about that.
Yeah, I think it's going to take just about as long as the JFK assassination.
If not longer. And if you have any questions for the Skeptic Overlord, a.k.a. Bill Irvin, go to the ATS Mix information area. There's a topic there that says Ask Skeptic Overlord, and post your question, and it'll be read on the air, and you'll get some recognition of hearing your name on the air. And if we could just do one more thing for our old bud Cracker, Steven the Stevo.
Hello!
And I guess that ends the show, Bill.
Awesome.
All right, Bill. Thanks so much for your time again, as always.
Great. Talk to you guys later.
Right. Take care, Bill. Bye.
Being part of the revolution is easy. Star, flag, and dig the mother. Whether you find a great topic or really enjoy one of our podcasts, you can make it even better by taking the time to show your appreciation and applause by giving the material a star, then flag, and finally a dig. This will draw attention to the thread or podcast, and by doing so, you're making a difference and improving the ATS, BTS, and Above Politics experience. So remember, when you find a great thread or podcast, star, flag, and dig the mother. Thanks for being part of the revolution from your friends at the Above Networks, LLC.
ATS Mix featured interview.
Hello?
Frank Warren.
Yes.
Johnny Anonymous, along with my partner, Dave Rabbit. Say hello, Dave Rabbit.
Hey, hello, Dave Rabbit. Hi, Frank. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Well, forgive the couple of minutes delay, but I've just been mesmerized on your website. Wow, I'm just blown away. It's really a great site.
Well, thanks. Well, if you're going to have a delay, that's a good reason, I would imagine.
Yeah, I thought we'd put that little kudo thing.
Going to be late to the party. Huh?
Yeah. But you know how rabbits are. We're fast in a lot of areas, but you know, calling people is not one of them.
Usually, people are trying to tell me to shut up, but I understand.
Not us, brother. Hey, we love talkers. You know, yeah. This is called Chatty Cathy Incorporated. You know, we just let you pull your string.
Well, I resemble that remark.
Oh, stealing my lines. I love that line.
That's a good one.
I really love that line.
Frank, doesn't it drive you crazy? You know, it seems like everybody that's got any kind of digital camera or whatever, you know, is taking pictures of trash can lids on strings and, you know, putting them up on YouTube. And, you know, I mean, they're getting hundreds of thousands of hits on these things. But do you think this kind of activity, and that's not just YouTube, there's a bunch of other sites, but do you think this kind of activity is really helping or hurting the UFO community as a whole?
I don't think it's doing either. If we define modern day ufology by Kenneth Arnold's original sighting, since the onset of ufology and those first flying saucer sightings, as you will, this is before the term UFO came to be, there have always been hoaxes. You can go back and read some of the old newspaper reports in 1947. Since the very onset of ufology and that original sighting, there have always been hoaxes. There have always been faked photographs. It's the cost of doing business, so to speak. You've always got to separate the wheat from the chaff. In terms of a photograph in particular, and now a video. I mean, you've got software like View 6. In fact, Johnny knows what I'm talking about in terms of some of these really good videos. I call it artwork. Some of this stuff is very, very impressive.
Right.
But you have to separate the wheat from the chaff, and a video by itself or a photograph by itself, that's all it is at the end of the day. If there isn't any other supportive evidence, it's almost worthless.
Yeah.
There are obviously certain things that you can do scientifically with a photograph, but still, if you've got a photograph of a distant light, at the end of the day, that's all you have at the end of the day. Even with some of these videos that show a compartmented craft or that kind of thing, again, no eyewitnesses, no supportive evidence, no radar visuals, that kind of thing. No forensic evidence. It's given the fact what we can do today with CGI, it's just worthless.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, you know, with the advent of them being able to take what 10 years ago the Hollywood industry was able to do, and they've now been able to allow the home user to be able to pretty much create those same type of CGI effects in their home. Okay. It just drives me crazy because it makes it so much harder. And because of that, I have to ask you this. Do you think, though, that this may also help in the form of acclimating those that would never really have thought about UFOs, that this could be some really weird tangent form of disclosure, acclimating them to the idea that, yeah, maybe I need to change my belief system?
Well, if you go back to the Shermer case, I think it was 67, the old Blue Book case, and I forget the book that was written on it. Shermer was a highway patrolman, I forget of which state, but this this gets into another realm, but he was channeling an alien.
Right.
And the alien said back at that time that we are conditioning society for the eventuality of disclosure. This by itself, I mean, if you look back in terms of the event, if you asked, I have to change the decade because I've said this for decades, but, you know, if 30 years ago, if you asked people about life on other planets, for example, you asked 10 people down the road, the majority of them would think it was nonsense or it's silly. Well, now, for the most part, in regards to mainstream science, it's a given that there's life on other planets. We just haven't discovered it yet, or at least that's what they tell us. We now have the count is now on exoplanets, and now we're finding Earth-like planets. So it's pretty much a given that there's life on other planets. So if you go back in terms of society's mindset, it's completely reversed itself. So some could argue that they're priming the pump, so to speak, for the eventuality of disclosure. Personally, for me, I have always said, and I've written articles on it, that man's technology has risen to the level and continues to do so exponentially, that there are things that are going to happen, and quite frankly, they are happening, that can't be denied by the powers that be. Everybody walks around with a camera phone, for God's sakes.
Right.
Years ago, when somebody said, well, it was swamp gas, it was a mass hallucination, they could get away with some of that. They can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, last night was a prime example. Immediate videotape to the news channels of these objects that were seen over Phoenix last night. And you know, for every 10 that we see publicly, there's probably 50 more that are in somebody's phone or camera or whatever that will, you know, they'll come out slowly. But obviously what we're seeing is just the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
Frank, let me pause you on that thought for a second, because you bring up something that really just comes to mind that I want to get your take on the thing. Is there a specific, and you've researched this for years, but is there a specific region or country, Frank, in your opinion, that seems to be having a large flux of unusual sightings?
Well, of course, South America comes to mind in that, and I don't know per se if they're having more sightings than anywhere else, or that they're just more open about it, and we hear a lot about it. There's a lot there here lately, the last several months, there's a lot going on in Argentina, Brazil, countries like that. The last month or so, we've had a lot of activity in Spain, England, consistently in the last couple of years. Of course, those governments are also more open than the United States is.
Now, you bring up a very interesting minor sidebar, John. Sorry. Why do you think that is? I mean, is it because the people in the European nations are more open to believability of things than we are here in the Western world?
This would come down to all speculation. But if we are to believe certain events took place in the 40s, most ufologists give credence to the Roswell event. I do, and I base that on my own research. If you go back to the Battle of Los Angeles, and if you give credence to that, that puts Roosevelt in the know, which means actions were taken. Then you go to Truman, and then you get into 1947, in terms of when the CIA was born and the National Security Agreement that was formed that year, which most of that is classified. We don't even know what it says. I think you would find the foundation of government thinking that was written in stone back then, and then everything has cascaded off of that since that time. And I believe much of that is still in place today, and that's why our government is so secretive. It's because of things that happened early on. And nothing has changed in the government within the government, so to speak.
Right.
The powers that be, whoever controls that, regardless of the sitting president, that foundation is still there. And until they shake that foundation up, it's just going to continue to be the same way, in my view. Now, obviously, the openness of these other countries and the questions from the other countries puts pressure on the United States. One would hope that even if we are the forerunners, and when I say we as our government and country, that hopefully with the pressure from these other major countries, that that might force us into a position of some sort of disclosure. And then again, on the other hand, it's like I just said, personal technology has come so far that, you know, if it walks like a duck and you've got a photograph of it along with 10,000 other people, I mean, how long can they keep denying things?
Right. Well, you know, that actually, let me just interrupt you just real quickly, because I think you may have just stumbled upon the next question I was going to ask, because because of the technology that we have been advancing in, isn't it quite possible that a majority or any reports that we're seeing nowadays might not necessarily be theirs anymore, but for the most part, ours?
Obviously, our own technology has progressed, and I think the numbers, the ratio of numbers, remain constant over the years. I mean, if you wanted to do an 80-20 or a 90-10, the majority of UFO sightings you can attribute to a conventional craft or a natural phenomenon, but there's always going to be that percentage that defies conventional explanation. That has been a constant since the very beginning. And even if you go back to Blue Book Special Report 14 and you analyze those numbers, that was a better than 20% margin. And the numbers, you know, now we're back into science, and those numbers, you can get an average over the years, and they don't lie. But most certainly, I mean, you know, obviously, we have the onset of the stealth aircraft, we have all these various things with our own technology and our own know-how that's progressed throughout the years. If you go back and you give credence to UFO crashes, if you go back to Roswell, if you go back to back engineering and that sort of thing, and I've been involved with witnesses that support that dogma, then certainly we may have something like theirs, it's entirely possible that we're seeing something that's like theirs, that in fact is ours.
Right. Well, let me ask you this, Frank. I mean, you've been around the community a long time, and I know Johnny has. I mean, I know Johnny has his opinions, and you know, we've interviewed just a buttload. That's a technical term. You can look it up. We've interviewed a buttload of guys.
That's radio talk.
That's right. In the ufology community. But obviously, there's got to be a group that you would consider heroes of the ufology movement. And then, of course, what I would call zeros, the guys that contribute nada, zippity-doo-dah. Just in your opinion, I mean, you know, without, you know, putting yourself in a whole liable situation, who are the heroes and zeros in ufology today, do you think?
Well, you know, for me, the heroes, if you talk to a younger person, my heroes, they would label them the old school ufologist, names like Kehoe and McDonald, Hynek, after he had his epiphany and turned around.
A little change of heart he did.
Yeah, just a wee bit. Yeah. Dick Hall, I have a tremendous amount of respect for. Stan Friedman, of course, is my hero. I'm fortunate to work in concert with him often. And you just have to admire what Stan does, and he's just never ending.
Right.
But, you know, Valet is another name that I have a great deal of respect for. I found the interesting thing with what we could call the younger crowd that comes in, you know, none of this is new. Ufology has been around long enough that you get your UFO abecedarians that come in, your UFO amateurs, the novices that come in, and they want to shake everything up, and boy, we're really going to find out what's going on. And it seems to me, at the end of the day, they always end up where everybody else ends up anyway, if you've done enough research. Now, you can broaden that if you get into some of Valet's theories, and I find his mindset intriguing, because here's a guy that's been in it for decades, and now he's getting into more of a interdimensional type of theories, which to me still means extraterrestrial. You know, it's not going to be a conventional explanation. But you have to wonder, with somebody that has had that much evidence pass in front of him and that has been that hands-on, and he's no dummy, I mean, he's a smart guy, and it's I find it fascinating that he has come to the position that he has. And there's a couple other guys that also feel that way. Now, if you get into quantum physics and whatnot and traveling great distances in space, dimensions always seem to enter into it. That might be how travel has to take place. But then again, of course, there's also evidence of seeing bipedal beings and so forth and so on. So extraterrestrial in the sense of how we think of it, the common thinking in terms of the alien, is probably the easiest solution and more palatable to us than, say, interdimensional. But it all means extraterrestrial, as far as I'm concerned. You know, it's not your neighbor.
Right. I've seen some of the posts that you've put up at AboveTopSecret.com, and before I ask you my last final question, I wanted to ask this, because nobody can ever say that you're not an outspoken person, Frank. You kind of say what's on your mind. And I was just kind of curious, the question that David asked about heroes and zeros, there seems to be a few TV programs that are on the air today that seem to be kind of revolving around the UFO phenomena. And I was just kind of interested what your take on shows such as like UFO Hunters. Are you pleased with how they're presenting it, or would you like to see some changes made? What are your thoughts?
Big zero. In fact, I meant my big zero.
Yeah, I was wondering where my zero was, Frank. Thanks.
Well, I think the biggest zero in regards to ufology is the media in general. And quite frankly, you know, there's a cognitive bias across the board, and it exists within science and scientists themselves. You know, the very first step in scientific methodology is the observation of a phenomenon. So science dictates that if you have an unknown phenomenon and it's observed over and over again, that you know you have to investigate it. So for mainstream science to shun something, it's contradictory in itself. It just doesn't make any sense. This same thing exists within the media, and again, it comes down to conventional thinking. But I think you can. If you look back far enough, it's generational. And there we know through research that there were early efforts, and in my mind there still are, to debunk UFO sightings. We know that the government got into it hot and heavy, that they included some major corporations early on in an effort to debunk any UFO sightings. And I believe that that worked. And I think as people were early on, say in the late 40s and 50s, were ridiculed for talking about UFO sightings, pilots in particular, with a strange bit of irony there, because they wanted pilots to report UFO sightings on one hand, but then that they would ridicule them if anybody went public on the other. Well, as generations pass, you know, now you get people talking about all the funny little green men or the little gray guys or this the guffaws and the poke in the rib and that kind of thing, and it's made light of. And then, of course, then it gets into the movies and the pictures and so forth. Pretty soon you have the chicken and egg scenario. But now this passes down through generations, and it's natural. It has become natural. If you're going to see it here with this, what's gone on with Arizona. You're going to watch your local news or your mainstream news, CNN or whatever. Your national news are going to talk about this thing. They won't be able to do it with a sober face. There's going to be a giggle. There's going to be a laugh. I've already seen it today, in fact. And that the media is the biggest zero. As far as UFO Hunters goes, in particular, I don't have a lot of good things to say about the show. I think the research is weak. I don't like the presentation. And I've always said that you can't do a weekly UFO series anyway. Oftentimes, witnesses don't want to have their name brought into this thing. They don't want to talk on camera. They don't want to be brought out in the public eye. So it's hard enough to do research and talk to witnesses per se on a one-on-one basis, much less having a camera crew behind you. The other part of it is the you know, what's important is completely different for a show and a researcher. A researcher is concerned about getting the data, getting accurate data, getting everything straight. You know, we don't care about ratings or that kind of thing, or making the corporate bigwigs happy. So it's like mixing oil and water. It just doesn't wash.
Right.
And I keep, you know, I cross my fingers for UFO hunters every week, and just every week it seems to be getting worse.
Well, we'll have to ask everybody else to cross their fingers too. Hey, listen, we've pretty much run out of time here, Frank, but
and
before
send those U2Us yes. to Johnny at atsmix.com.
Well, we've kind of come to the close of this segment here with our interview with you, Frank. I just wanted to ask, is there any place or particular event that's coming up that you would like to plug and promote real quickly to let people know where they might be able to see you in person?
Well, we just passed the symposium at Aztec, and I was invited to speak there, and unfortunately something came up and I couldn't make it. Thank God I asked producer, talking about UFO hunters, I asked producer Dwayne Tootle to stand in for me, and he did, which, by the way, he's working on some things that hopefully will see the light of day soon. He originated the original UFO Hunter show that was one of the UFO Files segments, which was great, by the way.
Now, you're talking about the one that's on the History Channel, right?
It was a segment entitled UFO Hunters Under UFO Files.
Right.
That particular episode was entitled UFO Hunters. Unfortunately, they have not followed in his footsteps. Dwayne does he does really great work, and he's a great asset to ufology. I have been informed that my name has been put back in for next year for the Aztec Symposium, and at this point in time, that's the only thing that I've got on the drawing board.
Well, tell everybody real quickly one more time where your website is located at.
Well, the website is it's called Knowledge is Power, but it is a blogspot. So the URL is frankwarren.blogspot.com, but the easiest way to get there is just Google Frank Warren and UFO, and it should be within the top 10.
Well, I can't tell you what a pleasure it's been to have you on the ATS Mix Show, sir, and I always look forward to any of your posts that you put up on the forum board, and we'll look forward to hopefully be able to have you come back. Would you be willing to come back and share some more experiences with us?
It's been a lot of fun.
Anytime. Yeah, we'd like to have you back, Frank. We really would.
Yeah, anytime. A lot of fun.
Fantastic.
You guys are doing a great job, too, by the way. I've been able to catch up on some of the shows. The last one I listened to was the one with the Dolan.
Oh, good. Really, how did we come across?
Well, you guys were worthless, but Dolan was. No, it was a great show.
That's what we love about you, Frank. You've also been able to maintain a sense of humor. We hope it was humor.
Yeah, and if you don't agree with Frank, you too, you Frank at. I'm just kidding. All right, brother. Well, listen, we really appreciate the time, Frank. What a great guy you are. We're real big fans, and hope we can always have a friendship and a relationship with you down the way, bro.
You betcha.
Glad All right, Frank. On. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
And now, AboveTopSecret.com presents From the Balcony, a movie review thing with Dave and Johnny.
It is a segment here we haven't done for quite a while, Senor Rabbit.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, too.
We had a number of U2Us and private messages and emails saying, hey, you guys in the earlier part of the ATS Mix used to do a variety of different shows. When are we going to see those come back? And so we thought about it, and we thought, you know, let's start off now.
Yeah, why not? You know, let's don't jack around and just, you know, wait until, you know, doomsday. Let's just go ahead and throw some stuff at them. Yeah, in actuality, you know, Johnny and I talked about this. And, you know, some of the fun things that Johnny and I first started the ATS Mix Show was, you know, we just kind of got off the wall and really had a lot of good times and a lot of fun. And I think the membership really enjoyed it. And it didn't take away from our serious ATS member stuff. But, you know, every once in a while, we wanted to throw some crazy stuff in. So John and I
might have talked about it, and we decided we made an executive decision that we're going to, you know, every week's going to be something strange and different, and you're not going to know what Johnny and I are going to come up with. And we're going to dig back into our bags of tricks and some of the old things we used to do and some of the fun. And obviously, we're open to any suggestions that you want to make in the studio. Sorry, in the studio. In the studio. I know this is coming out of my time, but it's okay. I can cut my mine short.
Oh, wake me up when you're through.
Okay, I'm done.
So it is the segment known as From the Balcony, Senior Rabbit. What do you have for us in your bag of movie goodies?
All right, well, mine's going to, you know, like I said, mine's going to be fairly simple. But, you know, I love science fiction, John. You know that. We've talked about this before. And back when I was in my second tour in Vietnam in 1968 to 69, I was stationed at Phan Rang. I guess it was 69-70, sorry. I was stationed at Phan Rang, and they had a movie theater called the Viking Theater. And a movie that I saw there when I'm in Vietnam is the classic George A. Romero Night of the Living Dead, the black and white version.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm telling you, you know, it was like a midnight flick. We go to the movie, and I mean, it's, you know the movie. It's just a gory, gory movie. And I mean, especially in black and white, which really makes everything stark. You know, there's nothing scarier than black blood, if you will. And we walked out of that movie theater, and I mean, we're all in Vietnam, and I mean, we're walking back to the hooches in groups because we were all scared S-less, you know, from watching this movie. Well, I became a big fan of George A. Romero and also the Night of the Living Dead movies. And then they came out with Dawn of the Dead, which is one where they, you know, do the thing in the malls and stuff. Which I thought was pretty clever. And then I think there was Evening of the Dead and How's Your Sister's Dead. And, you know, they came out with all these other ones. Well, I met Crockbuster the other day. And
a wonderful, fine establishment, by the way.
I love Crockbuster. And I saw one, and it's one of those where they only had like one copy, you know. And I'm going through, and I'm going, and I see this thing that says Flight of the Living Dead.
Oh, great. They've learned how to fly now.
No. All right. Flight.
Sorry.
The airplane flight, right?
All right.
So I'm going, well, Flight of the Living Dead. I'm thinking, well, God, this is great. It says, yes, Zombies at 30,000 feet. Well, I said, you know, normally these kind of movies, John, I won't get. But, you know, I went ahead and rented it. And I watched it last night. And I got to tell you, it blows me away that they come up with this kind of stuff. Now, you know, I was scared, like I said, S-less back in Nam, you know, walking back from the black and white. But this one, I had my feet up in the couch because, I mean, they had zombies coming out of air ducts. And instead of the oxygen mask dropping down, there was this arm hanging down, you know, trying to grab this broad. And, God, it was scarier, and it was really a scary movie. It really was. I have to admit, I really thoroughly enjoyed this movie. Now, the thing I love about all these zombie movies is there's always some good-looking chick that you don't want to die because you think that's a total waste of chickhood. And she's the one that always ends up, you know, at the end of the movie, you know, where you're going, okay, honey, I think we're safe. Well, remember in the original, the Night of the Living Dead, where the black guy, you know, he's got that white girl and he's looking out the window and they're finally safe. And then, you know, the old buckwheat guy from Deliverance, you know, shoots him in the head because he thinks he's a zombie. You know, that's how that movie ends. It's really and it just gives you this really eerie, gooey feeling.
The irony, well, this, yes.
The irony of the thing. Yeah, and it was kind of the same thing with this. But all in all, I really, really enjoyed this movie. If you can find it at Crockbuster and you love horror movies and you love the series Night of the Living Dead, I think this is one you're going to enjoy. So what did you find?
How many rabbits did you give it?
I could, you know, the maximum rabbits up is four.
Right.
And considering I gave Marissa Tomei four, I can't give it four. But I'll give it a good 2.5.
You may have to change your rating system there. Because there are two ears on a rabbit. Maybe that's how.
I know, but it wasn't the ears that the rabbit sup was based on.
3.5 ears, rabbit ears. Yeah, all right. Okay. I chose a documentary for mine, and it's
really
entitled Out of the Blue. And, of course, this has to deal with the UFO phenomenon. It's been seen on the Sci-Fi Channel and probably other types of media channels. But it is available on DVD, and it is available in the Director's Edition, which gives you a lot more bang for your buck, so to speak. It
that has name rings a bell, John. Wasn't that on the site also?
I am unable to answer that question at this time.
God, that name rings a bell for me for some reason.
The testimony here comes from some fairly qualified people, including former presidents Jimmy Carter and Gerald Ford, astronauts Edgar Mitchell and Gordon Cooper, and Russian cosmonaut Pavel Popovich. You've got some imagery and videos and photographs that you have probably never, ever seen before. And I, being a researcher myself, an amateur ufologist, I was kind of taken back that there was actually some material and footage here that I had never seen before. And so I was quite impressed by it. In fact, Michael Shermer, who writes for Skeptic Magazine,
right.
he, believe me, he is a skeptic. He doesn't believe in anything, really. He made the claim that this movie, Out of the Blue, emerges as one of the very best films ever produced on this subject, one of the most interesting subjects in the history of science. Now, for a skeptic to say something like that, that's pretty mind-boggling.
Oh, yeah, really?
The documentary deals internationally. I mean, not just in the United States and England, but you got Russia and France and a number of other places. So I found it extremely and intensely interesting, and I think that so would our listeners and members.
Now, can they get that at Crockbuster?
I'm sure they could. Yep.
Now, is this the one that they actually do a on-camera interview with Jimmy Carter?
Yes.
Okay. When we close the balcony, then I think I'm going to run right out to Crockbuster and see if I can. And it's called Out of the Blue, right?
Out of the Blue, the definitive investigation of the UFO phenomenon.
You say documentary? Would it be in like a documentary area of the Crockbuster? You think?
Probably.
Has it just been released? Is it? Would it be a
No. This has been out for a while. This isn't a new movie. I would say it's probably been out for at least a good 2 years. But it is one of those type of videos or movies that when people in the UFO community watch it, and believe me, we are extremely critical because we think we've seen everything. We all pretty much agree that this is pretty much a pretty good darn documentary. And if you have absolutely no knowledge, or if you still don't believe that there is more than likely something going on above our heads after watching this movie, then you are a real diehard skeptic. I mean, really. And it also has Peter Coyote narrating it, and I always liked his voice.
Love that guy.
He does great narration.
He does. I mean, he's just got a great voice. He really does. I especially enjoyed him when he played with Robin Williams in Patches.
And just as a side note, then this has absolutely nothing to do with your movie or my movie, and nor anything from the balcony, although it is a movie, because I have a
friend. I know
friend
where you're that, going. I'm going to be there with
I have,
you.
I have a friend that happens to manage a theater, and he's already
you,
got me saved a place. I'm going to go see Iron Man, and I can't
love
wait.
That. It's going to be such, and you know, we can do a prequel, but I really think that's probably that and the Dark Knight are the two that I'm most looking forward to that are coming out.
You know what? And when you think of Tony Stark, I think that Robert Downey Jr. couldn't have been a better pick for this.
No.
Aristocratic, I mean, and a brat, all in the same, yeah, with money.
I mean, so, a Rat Pack guy that just, I mean, he really personifies that image. He really does.
As a kid, as most kids did, we, of course, read comic books. That's the way we got our fantasy entertainment. And Iron Man was definitely one of those that I enjoyed because he wasn't your typical hero, you know. He wasn't your Superman that had real hero powers, you know. He wasn't the Green Lantern, you know. He was a man that used technology to create this image or this exoskeleton, if you will, around him. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
And you know what it kind of reminds me of is the Rocketeer.
Absolutely. You know? In fact, they were saying that.
I see similarities in that thing because that guy too was a mortal and used technology to, you know, be somewhat of a combatant against crime. But nah, I'm right there with you. When you look to your left, it's going to be the Ravenator, because I'm coming out there to go to the movies with you, John.
You know, the cool thing, you mentioned the Rocketeer. You know, the cool thing about that whole subject line was that that was technology that they were using that was being developed by the Nazis. So you had that conspiratorial side of a world war behind technology, and I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I missed the Cold War. Anyway. Sorry. So how many I give them rabbits up. And so what's going to be your chronological blessing that you're going to give for Out of the Blue?
Well, if all I have is four rabbits, well, then I'm going to give it four rabbits and eight rabbit ears.
Okay, then that's pretty high praise from the John and Nader. All right, well, so there you go, folks. We hope you enjoyed just a little from the balcony from the John and Nader and myself. And then, you know, you're never going to know what we're going to do, so we want you to be sure and listen to all the ATS Mix shows and see what's happening next. So from the balcony, I'm Dave Rabbit.
And I'm Johnny Anonymous.
The balcony is closed.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.abovetopsecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat. We'll be right back.